Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that in these days you would grant us by your great grace a deep revelation of you inside us, a God inside-minded consciousness. And we thank and praise you, Father, for your total empowerment in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to continue on with the Glorious Church Part 2 and see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Now, last time I shared with you the vision of the local church that God gave me 6 years ago, just a little less than 6 years ago. And we talked about the fact that we need to understand that we are called to, that we are raised up with Him, that we're seated with Him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. Now, this is a consciousness we have to have. We have to have a revelation of that fact, because in this final hour, to live anywhere below that is going to be disastrous. It's that simple. And that's not a place that a Christian wants to be found testing God in this last hour. He has formulated the plan from the beginning. The fullness of everything he ever prophesied concerning the church is going to come to pass, and in his way and in his power. And so consequently, what falls on us is to dwell, come to that place where we dwell in his presence and where we abide in his word and where we receive total empowerment from him in all things. It is a very simple concept. The thing that is going to separate the true from the false in this last hour is the commitment towards God in the heart of the Christian. If there is absolute commitment, then they will absolutely overcome. If there is anything less than that, then they will be absolutely overcome. It is the final hour. It is the conflict of the kingdoms. Now, this isn't something new that I've just said, but nevertheless, even in a natural sense, we're moving one day closer to the fullness of God's will. But there is coming a day, and we're in this time, in this season, that the fullness of God's plan is going to accelerate dramatically, and consequently, God is raising up those people who are wholly given to him and positioning them perfectly. First, of course, in the Spirit through their obedience and their believing, and then secondly, of course, a physical positioning which allows the corporate anointing to expand. That's one of the great keys in this time and in this last hour, something we haven't experienced up until this time in the church to the degree that the Father wants us to experience that, and it has many different facets. I don't know how much I'll touch on that today, but I'll definitely be dealing with that because it's a glorious thing, a glorious thing. So just to say a bit about that, the fact is that through the many years of training that we've had, it's sometimes, or most of the time perhaps, seemed like a struggle, whereas we're kind of in the wilderness experience. We're learning to believe in God. We're learning to unite our faith with his word, and we're going to deal with that scripture in a bit. Actually, you can turn to Hebrews 3. I won't be there for a bit, but that's where we're going to go, so that I'd warn you. And so this whole warning is so important, because in the times we've been in the wilderness, God was drawing us to himself and teaching us to walk by faith, teaching us to walk by love, teaching us basically to put him first in our lives, because that's the first, that is the prerequisite to all things. I've said it before, this whole thing does not work apart from obedience to the command to fellowship with him in the inner chamber. It just doesn't. Many people have tried, and that's why there's a mess out there. But God is coming on the scene to rectify that situation. So anyway, the in these days, as God is developing true spiritual environments, as he is, as believers have finally allowed him to cast out that the ground of fear that's hindered them for so long, and thus they're filled with his perfect love, he's now able to do some things he wasn't able to do. And one of those things is this corporate anointing, whether it's two individuals, whether it's the different spiritual environments that he's raised up. But God is in the business now of connecting the dots together. And what I saw in a vision at one point was a great number of little, what looked like little bonfires, and throughout the world in the body of Christ. And these symbolized true spiritual environments, which took on every shape and form you could imagine, and even some you couldn't imagine. But the fact is, in the fullness of time, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out, is going to supernaturally connect these dots in the Spirit, of course, first of all, and suddenly, although it won't seem so suddenly to those who've been truly serving Him, the glorious church is going to take legs. It's going to make an appearance in a very radical way. And from that point, the church will walk nonstop supernaturally, the true church. And again, this is some of the things I'm going to go into in this teaching, not today necessarily, but in the whole, the overall teaching, is the practical life in the daily or daily practical life in the glorious local church. And it has to do with all the things we've been taught through all the years, the fact that we need to walk by revelation and so on. So I'm not going to go into all that again, but the fact is we need to have a consciousness that we are in this high position with Christ. Because I said it before and I'll say it again, you know, the church is here, the principalities and powers are here, the world is here. If Christians are in the world, when this conflict begins, they're going to rain down with everything they've got. And believe me, there are spirits that in his deception, Satan is releasing in this last hour, thinking he's going to defeat Jesus. But he's going to rain these things down. I've seen some of them. Anybody walking the flesh will not overcome. Bottom line. And it won't be a matter of standing around discussing it, whether we're in God's will or not. We either be in God's will or we will be overcome. In God's will, we will be raining down on the principalities and powers. And there will come a time when they are devastated to such a great degree that the force that they've exerted on people to keep them in bondage will drop off, and vast multitudes will see that the one true God, the living Christ, and come into the kingdom. And I said into the kingdom, not just into the new birth, into the kingdom. So this is the reality that we have facing us in these days. This is the desire of the Father's heart to accomplish all of these things, but only those who are fit will be able to enter in. Again, it's not that God doesn't love each and every one of his children, but this is an army he's raising up, and you cannot have anything but perfectly prepared troops when you enter into a war if you have hope of victory. So, Ephesians 1:1-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So many people are seeking spiritual blessing with both feet in the world. It won't happen. The only thing that happens there is they come into an area of compulsion, of attempting to serve God on their own terms. And all that leads to is frustration and deception. Not to mention a clear disobedience to the highest plan of God for their life. We dealt with the scripture in Joel briefly, which talked about multitudes in the valley of decision. And I know Bill's mentioned this a few times, but you can really look out into the Spirit and you can see that there are so many people that are on the very threshold. And I don't mean people who are attending church now. I'm talking about people who most people consider not born again. So many people so close to the kingdom. And when they see the true church, when they see the living Christ, they are going to move radically. They'll drop everything and move radically towards God. And in fact, in many cases, those who come into the kingdom this hour will be far more effective than those who have sat on the church pew for 30 years but yet have held to some religious tendency, some motivation of self-desire. There's no room for self-desire in the kingdom, and that's precisely why people can't enter in when they maintain that. See, God said all these things in his word, and he said, okay, this is the way I'm doing it, and always has left the choice. We talk about free will. Well, we do have free will, but if you're going to be properly informed, then you're going to have to spend time in the presence of God to know what his will is, and then you can make a choice. But if you're getting two aspects or two choices, and both of them are coming from the devil, then you see, whatever choice the person makes who's not in fellowship with God, it's going to be wrong, and he just laughs. But thank God, he's raising up a people who are wholly given to him. We talked about the fact that in this last hour, we have to have our spiritual bearings. We have to be in proper position according to the will of the Father. We must hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the first characteristic of that. That's the only place, or the only way, rather, that we can ever enter into the fullness of our kingdom position and be on the road towards that, of course. And then from that position of knowing him and knowing his heart, knowing that he truly is omnipotent, then we can understand the simplicity of his plan. It's simple, but it requires perfect obedience. It requires pinpoint accuracy. It requires righteous motivation. Without exception, without exception. Again, the type and symbol core is rebellion. We know that Moses came down, shared a bit about this. We know that Moses came down bringing the revelation of holiness. People who had once served God, people who had, who the Holy Spirit actually called men of renown, decided that, who are you? We're already holy. We've already done great things. So obviously they'd taken pride in the things that they'd done for God in the past. We're going to see this in the last hour as the glorious church, the true church, the remnant, brings forth the absolute revelation of holiness that's required. We talked about I shared with you the vision that God gave me for the local church. And again, it dealt, the basic key to that vision is the positioning of God's people over any area, and that is in the heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. And that's the place wherein every spiritual blessing, everything that you need, or we need, and we need, individually and corporately, to fulfill the fullness of God's will is there. If you're looking for it somewhere else, you're not going to find it. But I'll tell you that the devil will be there with a counterfeit to make it seem like the activity that people are doing is very spiritual, but it's not pleasing to the Father. It's only faith that pleases God. And faith works by love. And absolute faith works by perfect love. So it's extremely important, again, that we heed the warnings that are coming forth from the true men and women of God, so that we can be perfectly positioned. Because it's not a scary thing when you love God, but it's a scary thing to align yourself with the devil, thinking you're loving God. Because God's not coming. God's coming to judge hearts, and hearts align themselves with either the Father and his word or the devil and his lies. But they are going, he's coming to judge the alignment. And we talked again about the Father's desire for a spotless and unblemished church, having no spot or wrinkle, one that is holy and blameless, or wholly given to God, righteous in every motivation, every word and deed carried out in that righteous motivation, empowered totally by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love. It is a wonderful provision. We've all known that from really the time that we were born again. We just had that sense that this was a wonderful new life we were entering into, of course. But as we've gone on over the years, we've come to realize that this is a wonderful provision. I believe every day that we get a deeper revelation of that, but it truly is an amazing thing. And we're just going to see in these days the fullness of what God has wanted to reveal to his children for many years. And this is the fullness of time. He is going to begin to move swiftly. We talked about the vision of the faith, and the step up here. And the significance of that being that it will take faith to move to that higher place. Only those who make the quality decision to walk in faith are going to enter into this place. You can also, in a parallel sense, take it, this is the place where the bridge is too. People have gone so far, but if they're going to cross that bridge and they're going to enter into the fullness of God's plan, all the baggage has to go. And God said, I'll take it away from you. You come into my presence and my perfect love will cast out every ground of fear, every ground of rebellion, anything that would hinder you from crossing that bridge and entering into the fullness of the kingdom. We need to have a kingdom consciousness. We cannot look at the world, we cannot look at the church in the world and see what is about to come. What is about to come is going to come by revelation in each individual member and obedience, and thus bringing things together. So in these days, we're going to experience a great acceleration in the spirit realm. We already are. We already are. And as this thing begins to grow, it's going to produce a momentum that's unstoppable in the individual lives and, of course, in these corporate aspects of the corporate aspect of the church. And again, I said earlier that acclimatization is the key. I'm telling you, I've experienced this. I mean, when God gives me a word to put forth, when he talks about or shares the desires of his deepest desires of his heart with me, I need to walk through it. And when he said that we need to be acclimatized to enter into this, we do. I got into a few situations over the years that I wasn't quite properly acclimatized. And I'm telling you, it was a difficult position to be in, because the days are coming now that God is going to move, ready or not. And those who are ready will overcome, and those who are not ready will be overcome. Again, our God is an absolute God, and that's the way we must, when we see a different situation, we must see it through his eyes so we can understand that he means what he says and he says what he means. I talked about the four characteristics of the true believer in this last hour and the anointing that will in some form continually flow through them. Power, fire, godly zeal, and clarity. These are things that the devil cannot counterfeit. He cannot counterfeit effectively when faced with the Holy Spirit. You have to understand the devil is in stark terror of the Holy Spirit, the same one that tossed him out of heaven in the first place and is about to toss him out of this earth through the church. These are spiritual realities I'm talking about. We need to have these burning in our heart. And again, my prayer in the beginning, to have that God inside-minded consciousness, that total empowerment of God that he has blessed us with and desires us to have. And this, again, is what the devil's running scared of, because he knows there's a people being raised up in the earth that he can't stop. They're unstoppable. And when this thing begins to take legs and the people of God begin to move, he is going to be put to flight. And I'm going to share the experience I had 6 years ago. And actually, looking at the schedule, it looks like it'll be the next one I share it. It'll be 6 years almost to the day that began, a seven-day period, that God showed me the practical outworking of the glorious church. And it's an amazing thing. I'm telling you, don't ever... This whole thing about fear, we talked last week about God is raising up a people who are fearless. We are to be a people with no fear. And when those people who are faithful to enter in and allow him to do the deepest work of the cross in them, who allow him to cast out that ground of fear, they're going to experience that nonstop supernatural activity until we're caught away. And so we're about to enter into a realm we've never been in continuously. But this is a day-in, day-out thing, and it's very, 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 very practical, but it means very bad news for the devil. It's the thing that he's been in fear of for many, 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 many years, and it's about to come to pass. Again, in that time, we will see the establishment of the true local church throughout the earth, and it'll take many shapes and forms, but the bottom line is, it will, in every case, will be a people, individually and corporately, who are walking by revelation knowledge. It's a simple thing. See, people in this earth walk in a form of knowledge, a form of discernment at any given moment. But so, I mean, what is it so strange that we should have supernatural discernment in all things when the world has natural discernment in all things and it's a spontaneous outflowing of their flesh? But we as Christians need to have that spontaneous outflowing of the Holy Spirit. So you begin to paint the picture of what it can be like if we just simply abide in the Word, which we're called to do, and the Word abides in us. It's an amazing thing. I'm believing that God will do a very special thing to get what I will impart concerning that time across to you, because if you have that revelation in your heart, you will not fear. It's that simple. He is in control. He's in control where the nations are concerned. He's in control where Israel's concerned, and he is in control where the church is concerned, and the manifestation of that will soon be seen. We talked about the denominational structure and its many forms. And it's only that structure, that entire structure, there is no good in the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. In that entire structure, it's only served to keep vast numbers affixed to a strong self-dependence in the name of spirituality. And yet it has not led to people coming into that place of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. It is just simply... caused people to get deeper and deeper into a dependence upon themselves, thinking they're serving God. And that, of course, is the wood, hay, and stubble that the fire of God is coming to burn. And, of course, in that case, many people are being called out of any form of religious structure in these days, I mean. Many have been called out, of course, because they had to come out of that environment in order to grow spiritually. I'll say this now, it's an absolute statement, and it's absolutely true. Ultimately, for a person to fulfill their ministry, they are going to have to come into the true spiritual environment that God has called them to. And now, first of all, that begins individually.
In other words, what I'm saying is, if a person right now is not in a true spiritual environment, they may be in a situation where they're under the control of something that's not of the Holy Spirit. It's still there. The emphasis, the onus is still on them to go in and with the Father, spend fellowship with Him in the midst of that, stand in faith, do whatever is necessary, you know, fight the good fight of faith, because that's what it takes when you're in an environment that's not true. But ultimately, if the other party or parties, if it's another denomination or a church, do not repent, then that person will be removed, and they will be moved in by the Holy Spirit into a proper spiritual positioning so that they can fulfill, or so God can fulfill the deepest desire of their heart, which is to love Him wholly and to fulfill their destiny in Christ. That will happen, and we're going to see some activity in this last hour. We must be acclimatized, or we will not realize that it's God. I mean, one of the schemes of the devil in this last hour is he's attempting to call that which is righteous unrighteous, or get people to think that, and vice versa. So we need to be a people who are acclimatized. And as we are, you see, then that's when that power, that godly zeal, that clarity, and that fire is continually working in us. There is no excuse for any person to be deceived in this last hour at all. God has made the provision. Only those who choose to be deceived by going their own way will be deceived. That's an absolute truth. Again, true spiritual environments, the essence of them is to promote the perfect spiritual growth necessary for one to fulfill their destiny in Christ. I talked a bit about the plateau of respectability and the comfort that kills. It's actually a quote from a prophecy I got. That's a dangerous thing. You know, it's coming down to this. Who do you love more? Do you love God more, or do you fear what people think? That's a deep-rooted thing in the human nature. But as Christians, that's the thing that we must allow God to deal with. Because what matters, the only thing that matters to us in our remaining time in this earth should be the will of God. Should be affixing ourselves to carrying out the deepest desires of the Father's heart. To be pleasing children. You know, if you can come, this is another aspect of the inner chamber, is that when you spend that quality time in fellowship with the Father, you know what the deepest desire of your heart will become? Just to simply be a pleasing child. Not some great spiritual giant with some big ministry. That may be the case. But the fact is, the deepest heart desire that drives you ultimately, no matter what happens, will be simply to please the Father. And it's a very short checklist. Father, am I walking in faith? Yes, then you're pleasing Him. And you see, all the other things will just follow along. We don't have time to do a lot of thinking in this last hour. In the realm we're about to enter into, we're going to have to be a people whose hearts are filled with revelation knowledge. And the spontaneous outpouring of the very presence of God within us will be what causes all these great and glorious things to come to pass. That is what will give the church the definition of glorious. The presence of God manifested wherever we go, whatever we say. I mean, these things are very, very simple, but they're very, very absolute, and there's only one way for people to enter into this, and that's faith, love, obedience, and loving God first and foremost with all your heart. Now, this is what we've been preaching for years now in the body of Christ, but the fact is now we're going to get a real opportunity to put this into practical use day in and day out, and it's going to be an amazing thing. I'll tell you this right now. It's far beyond anything we ever could have thought possible this side of heaven. But again, there's only one way to get to that place. Again, going back to this plateau of respectability, if people maintain a fear of what others think, and really the root of that is seeking the approval of man instead of the approval of God, because first and foremost, see, the fear of man, you're always seeking to gain the approval of people. Of course, that's an ongoing thing because you keep running into different people. But if you go into the presence of God and get His approval by revelation, if you see yourself through His eyes, then you won't have to seek after the fear of man, because you will have something in you. You will have the deep assurance that no matter what people say and do, you are loved by God. And it's a greater thing to be loved by God than it is to be loved by people. And it's a wonderful thing to be loved by people who have the love of God in them. But you can't receive what God has to offer through people walking in the natural. Absolutely impossible. And so it's such a futile thing, and it's a great deception that has kept many people in bondage But that's coming free. People want, that's why I said so many people are close to the kingdom, because they want to experience love. And the only thing they've seen is what the world calls love. It's not love at all. It's just selfish, just refined. And the fact is that when they see the love of God being poured out in the degree that God is going to pour it out, they will run to him. And that's the way it is. Again, I don't have any concern about the third day evangelistic effort. It's going to be totally done by the power of God. And we had that example the other day of where Smith Wigglesworth walked onto the train, and people just began to, without even him even saying anything, people just fell into the aisle crying out to God, "What must I do to be saved?" And that's good. That's a glimpse. You see, another one of those glimpses that God has given us. But we need to be those pure vessels that are used. And whatever God wants to do in any given environment, he'll be able to do. It's that simple. But God must have his way. He will have his way. And he is raising up a people that will allow him to do that. I talked about a true spiritual paradox in this last hour. Well, we know, those who have been seeking him, that it's extremely late. We can sense the lateness of the hour. It is the last of the last hour. But the other aspect of that paradox is it's very early in the establishment of the glorious church. I mean, as far as the outward appearance of the church goes, of course, God has worked for many, many years in many of us. But it's very, very late, but it's very, very early. So people shouldn't be discouraged if they've come into a place of backsliddenness or whatever, or maybe put off the very things God wanted them to do. Because just the next act that a person takes in obedience will be the catalyst to putting them right back in place. I mean, God's not, we fall out of something, God's not going to make us work our way back into it. He just brings us back to the obedience that we departed from him in. We come back and we're in. I've told you many times before, and I'll continue to say it again, he's perfect. When you get into a place where you're having trouble, run to him, not from him. Okay, Hebrews 3. Starting in verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, or if you would hear his voice, if you desire to hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me. Again, talking about that wrong attitude that many had there. Well, they all had, basically, except for a few. And saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, there's a lot here. I'm going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit, obviously. The fact is that 40 years in the Bible, when you take the number 40, it always symbolizes the fullness of time, or the fullness of God's judgment. In this case, the 40 years in the wilderness separated those people. They actually fell in the wilderness, except for the few I mentioned. They fell in the wilderness, and so it's a type and symbol for us today, because there are those in the earth who have made the decision they're going to enter into the quote-unquote promised land, that is the abiding in kingdom living, and there are those who are going to fall in the wilderness. See, these people fell. They did not enter into their rest. And so any heart attitude that lines up with this, see, it says that they saw his works. God said, they saw my works for 40 years, and they still rebelled. And so, in the fullness of time, we have seen his works in the church, whether you want to talk about the last 30 years or the last 2,000 years, because we've had the glimpses of the glory, or the early church, and all the lives of the great men and women of God through the centuries. There's always been something going on somewhere that God is showing the deepest heart desire. And maybe he's had to use an individual, and maybe people didn't see anything for years. But he always kept the plan going. But now we've come to the fullness of time. And as Christians, we don't want to be those, and I'm speaking to the whole body here now, we don't want to be those who fall in the wilderness, because fall they will. Because if a person maintains in this last hour rebellion and unbelief, they will not enter into the kingdom. It's just that simple. They will not enter into the fullness of kingdom living. And as I'll share here a little bit, they will leave themselves open to attack by the enemy. But again, we are not a people whose hearts are hardened. Again, this is the importance of the inner chamber. In the inner chamber, in daily fellowship, any ground that would allow or could potentially become hardness of heart insensitivity. The light shines in and continually removes that. You see, so there are so many facets to this, but as we take the step in faith and obedience to fellowship with the Father on His terms, and the Word, on His terms, you see, everything, it begins a spontaneous cycle that keeps us free from the pitfalls that would allow the devil inroads into our life. Because it's not just not allowing the devil inroads into our life for the purpose of him not being there, but it's also so that we can be pure vessels of God's power and life, and that he has no opportunity in us. All these things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who obey God is what that means. I mean, somebody's saying all things work together for good, and then and walk along in spiritual, well, in disobedience. It doesn't work that way. All things work for bad when you walk in the flesh, because what you sow is what you're going to reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap death. You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap life. Isn't it amazing how simple these things are? But that's not the problem. God always knew what he was saying. It's getting that word in us and expanding it and enlarging our, expanding it in our minds, our thinking, enlarging our hearts to receive his absoluteness. God hasn't changed in all these years, but he sure has changed us. And so now we're coming into conformity with him, and it's going to allow us and cause us to be empowered again to a degree we never thought possible this side of heaven. And this is where it's needed. You know, we're going to be in the presence of God in heaven, but now there's a war to fight. We're going to need that perfect empowerment. I'll just read this now. Well, actually, there was a this whole thing about no old wineskins. There was a word at one point. And, you know, God desires to remove every piece of ground from us that the devil has been able to use. And it's prevented a lot of things from coming forth. But again, as people begin to abide in that place of holiness, you see, then the devil's not going to have an opportunity. And God is going to very quickly be able to establish whatever he wants to establish corporately in any given place and in the entire body of Christ. Because it's his will for the spotless, unblemished church to come to manifest in this earth. Because that church will represent him perfectly. It will exalt the name of Jesus perfectly in any given moment to the highest degree. It will hurt Satan and his schemes to the greatest degree, thus allowing the captives to get free. And it will elevate the people of God to the greatest degree at all times. That's his desire. It always was. I'll just read this. Hardness of heart produces an insensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I said earlier that one of the keys that we must have if we're going to fulfill our destiny in Christ, we need to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a blockage in us, then we need to go before the Father and allow him to burn that out. Because it's not that hard to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, did anybody ever stop and think how easy it is to hear the voice of the world? I mean, you got TV sets blaring at you, news reports, everything else. Very easy to take that and understand it. It's just positioning. Again, another aspect of the inner chamber. If you spend more time speaking to and listening to God, you will hear his voice clearer than any other voice. And then even when you do hear another voice, which is a lying voice, I might add, you'll be able to discern. Again, that's where the clarity comes from, his presence. He's clear on things. There's no confusion in God, and he's not the author of confusion. So we must allow him to remove any mindset that says, I can't hear him. He's speaking at all times. And it's like that vision he gave me with the radio. This is years ago now, before all these digital radios came out, they had the knobs, you know, and they had the tuning knob. And the fact is that, he said, I'm speaking to my people at all times. And he said, but what's happening is they're tuning down here at 560, and I'm up here at 1420, and they're trying to hear me. But see, the problem is if we don't put ourselves in a position to hear God, then eventually we're going to listen to the lies of the enemy. We are going to hear a voice in this last hour. Will it be the voice coming from the throne room, or will it be the voice of the spirit of Antichrist, which is working so hard to draw people away from God and into that futile plan that the devil is, futile but dangerous plan that he's attempting to establish in the earth. Nonetheless, the Father will have his way. There will be a glorious church in the earth, and it will devastate Satan at every turn until the very moment we're caught up out of here. And then all hell literally will break loose on earth. Not something people want to be a part of. Okay, back to this scripture here. So in verse 11, he just finished saying, they shall not enter my rest. That is an absolute statement. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. What keeps one from falling away from the living God is to draw near to him. Because as we take the step in faith to draw near, he says, I will draw near to you. And when God says, I will draw near to you, that means he will draw near to you in the manner that you need to fulfill your destiny in Christ. And if that's not the deepest desire of the heart of the Christian, they need to repent immediately. Because that's why we're in this earth. We were bought with a price that we might no longer live for ourselves. We don't have that right. If we take that right, it constitutes alignment with the lies of the enemy. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, he's not talking about encouraging one another from an unbelieving heart and from the position of having fallen away from the living God. He's talking about those who are walking in perfect love. There's a lot of encouragement in the church, but it's not edifying. Only love can edify. Only grace can edify. For if we become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm until the end. Oh, assurance. I've talked to you about that before. That's the key to revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge, well, being in the presence of the Father and His Word produces revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge produces assurance. An assurance that cannot be overcome, regardless of what you face from the outside. The devil's schemes come from the outside, and if we take them in, then they can get inside, but that should not be the lot of the Christian. We should be those who are walking by faith. Verse 15, we need that assurance. That's a precious thing, to have the assurance of God. All hell can be breaking loose around you, but yet you have peace and joy. You have a deep assurance. You will overcome. Satan can throw up smoke screens, but like any other situation where smoke exists, it's not an eternal thing. Eventually, that's going to go away. If we will stand in faith, if we will wait on God, then the smoke screens, the jamming of the signals he tries to pull off on us will go. But in the meantime, we'll have the deep assurance. Oh, we may not have the feelings. We may not have the emotions that we'd like to have at that moment, but we will have the revelation. And when you stand in each situation in faith, when you stand, contend for the faith, when you are steadfast in your faith, you'll get the feelings, you'll get the emotions, because ultimately you'll come to a place where not only did you grow spiritually, but you will be able to see things through the Father's eyes. You will be able to feel what he feels. That's where the true realm of emotion is. It's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit working out through our mind, our will, and our emotions at all times. But sometimes we don't feel so good. We don't feel so strong. But if you have revelation in your heart, you will overcome. We cannot be Christians who are that soft, who walk in that soft underbelly of feeling, because that just makes us prime targets for the schemes of the devil, which come from the outside through the five physical senses. That's the way the system works. That soft underbelly of Christianity must be taken away. Put themselves in a position where that open attack from the principalities and powers down here will come on them. Get up here in faith, and you'll have that strong, steadfast assurance within you at all times. See, all of us have experienced that. The question is, when we get into a situation like that, are we moved by what we feel, or do we make the faith or the decision to seek out a revelation from God, or at least or confess the one we already have and stand in that thing? When you make the decision to stand, and you're willing to stand as long as it takes to stand, the devil's scheme won't last very long. It's when we give him inroads and ride along on those waves of fear for a little while that we have a problem. Now, if we make our mind up just to love God, first of all, and just say, okay, Father, I want your will, it doesn't matter what we feel like. What matters is his word will come to pass in our life, and love never fails. Love never fails. And so obeying God, when we obey God in any circumstance, we'll never fail to overcome. Can't happen, regardless of what we feel like. And there's some pretty intense feelings the devil's trying to lay on the people of God in this last hour. And the fact is that God has raised up a people who will not be moved. Now, it's not always like that. But when it does happen that way, we need to stand strong. We need to just say, we need to rejoice in the tribulations and trials and see it as an opportunity to devastate Satan, to see it as an opportunity to grow closer to God. We need to see it as an opportunity, a good opportunity, a glorious opportunity, and it will turn out that way. And it's amazing when one maintains that type of attitude towards God, it's amazing how everything turns out to be a blessing. And we see it clearly, an empowerment for to go on, to be ready for all things. Because I'm telling you, again, in the place the church is about to enter into, it is a nonstop terrorizing of the devil until the end of the age. How long that'll take? I don't know. People sometimes ask, well, how long do you think? I have no idea. Once this momentum begins to build, once God is able to do what he's finally always wanted to do in the midst of his people, I don't know. A lot shorter than we think. And I'm going to share more on this, but I'll just give you this tidbit. He told me that one day will be like 10 days of activity, spiritual activity. So 1 year then will be like 10 years. I mean, basically, that's the whole atmosphere of the kingdom. And that's what we're beginning to taste now, and we will taste fully before we leave here. So you see, we can't look at things in a natural progression of any sort, because what's about to happen has never been seen in the earth to the degree that it's about to be seen. So we have to be a people walking by revelation and not try and say, oh, well, maybe this will fix that there, maybe that'll fix that. God's going to fix a lot of things in a hurry, and a lot of people are going to run into deeper rebellion. One thing for sure, before this thing's over, people are going to know who loves God and who doesn't love God, who truly serves him and who doesn't serve him. That's the way it is. And many vast multitudes will come into the kingdom and just catch fire for God and live for God. And I found myself saying this yesterday, and it was basically this, that many people, it's not too late. You know, this is not like the world where if you don't have any education, you try to go to university when you're, 60 years old. It's not like that. Oh, you could never catch up. It's a hard attitude. When you enter into that place that God has for you, and many vast multitudes will come in. They'll come in off the streets. They'll come in from every walk of life, and they will catch on fire for God, and they will be led into the proper spiritual positioning. And because of the powerful anointing that's coming forth and being released in this last day, they will catch up very rapidly. And even if they had one little revelation initially, they'll be able to take that to the ends of the earth. So the fact is, you see, the kingdom is a little different than the world. We need to be those who are God inside minded. We need to, in that place, then we'll come to a revelation of his omnipotence, his omniscience, his being. Again, it's really hard to get those words forth and do it justice, but the fact is that he's coming and he has a plan. Look out, devil. All right. Verse 15. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Again, they didn't make it. And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Again, just briefly, another aspect of the inner chamber, that's where we get the revelation of God's will, whether it's for the church corporately or us individually. That's where we become sensitized to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I've always said this, two aspects of perfect obedience. One, a revelation of God's will. Two, the unction or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit moving you with pinpoint accuracy in order that that aspect of God's will can be fulfilled perfectly. Without those two aspects, you don't have perfect obedience. Many people go take the time to get a revelation of God's will, then they get the ball from God and they just run. You can't do that. It is, I always looked at it this way. If you take the will of God, any aspect of it, as being A to Z, okay, A is the revelation we get, and then the rest of the A, B, C, D, and so on is the walking that out in perfect obedience until the fulfillment comes. Now, it may just go A to Z if God wants that. That's not a problem. But if we look at the corporate aspect of the church, you go A to Z, and you just faith to faith to faith, obedience to obedience to obedience, and so on. That's how it comes to the fullness. That's the only way it comes to the fullness. And I'm telling you, the heart of the Father is to see the fullness of His will. And we've hindered Him for so long in the church because in the past 2,000 years because people took the ball and ran with it, mentally ascended here. Of course, the devil's been fighting it for 2,000 years. I mean, the spirit of Antichrist on the scene, the Holy Spirit on the scene from the moment He came on the scene as the Holy Spirit. I mean, the spirit of Antichrist was there trying to counterfeit everything and try to take people out of revivals and so on and so forth. But the fact is now, this is the most glorious time this earth will ever have seen up to this point. And that is the outpouring of God's presence to the greatest degree. And I'm not going to sit here and try and tell you all that that means, but it means it's going to change radically and it's going to change quickly. And it's going to change in ways we never thought possible this side of heaven. So one other aspect of this whole having this kingdom life mentality is the fact that the world and its systems are perishing. Now, I'm not going to go into that now. There's a whole place to go off. The devil's got a scheme. It's his desire to have a one-world church and a one-world money system and so on and so on. So he's trying to work on the scenes, and he tried to do some things already, but just like the wars that are going on in the midst of the nations, when God comes on the scene and says, no, I'm doing this, he just has to step aside. He actually wanted the one-world money system in place by 1996. Didn't work out for him. But nonetheless, the things are in place, as we know. But nonetheless, the focus now must be the glorious church and walking in that kingdom mentality, that kingdom living. Why? Because many in the world, they're experiencing defeat and failure now. But the fact is that they're going to begin to see a church that in whom they can see the way they need to go, whether it's finances, of course, the peace of God, you know, prospering in a time of definite non-prosperity in the world, a time of peace through this terror and the wars, the whole type of thing like that. We know what's going on in the world. They're going to see a people who are walking under an open heaven. That just simply means that God can impart whatever He wants to impart whenever He wants to impart it for the purpose of empowering His church individually and corporately. Not some mystical thing, you know, with dollar bills floating down from heaven. But nonetheless, the provision is coming, and it will come supernaturally, and the world will see that, except those who remain in blindness. If people choose to walk in rebellion, just like they didn't see Jesus, when Jesus walked in the midst of in His earthly ministry, they won't see the glorious church. That's almost hard to believe. But boy, if there's just one heart out there that has a heart towards God, that cries out to God, they will experience the salvation or the aspect of that all that's been bought by the blood of Christ. They will experience that in their life. It is going to be an amazing time. But again, those who remain in rebellion will go deep out into deep darkness, because that whole Antichrist system will still be being built up. And when God releases the church from this earth, then it will immediately be put in. And the world will just be ripe to receive that, because it's going to be total chaos when the church leaves, by the time the church leaves, and when the church leaves. Always remember, this is a word that I was given, what one is clothed with on the inside will define what they are clothed with on the outside. And what they are clothed with on the outside will demonstrate continually the deepest state of one's heart towards the Father and His will. Again, God inside minded, being filled with the glory of God, so that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, the manifest presence of God is coming forth spontaneously through us. It's a simple concept, but we must be fit vessels. You know, I talked a bit about the true structuring of the local church, and you know, that's a real simple thing. You don't need to go and get a book that shows the plan for the church in the next 20 years. The bottom line is, it is the individual obedience of each individual member that's down to its lowest root. And that individual member walking by revelation that will cause church government to be established, true church government, that will cause the true spiritual environments to be raised up, that will cause the true spiritual environments to be brought together by the power of God. So you see, we don't have to formulate a plan. We just need to be hooked into the Father, because he's already decided what He's going to do, and it will be His power in all things. It will be His power totally in the midst of those who truly love Him in this last hour. That's why we don't have to worry about anything. Just be obedient, just be in position, and we'll see some glorious things. Another aspect of the acclimatization is the fact that we will continually, regardless of the tremendous amount of blessing that as we walk in the kingdom of heaven, regardless of the turmoil in the world, we will be able to maintain that clarity. And we will be able to see and hear what the Father is seeing and hearing, we'll be able to know his heart continually, and that's all we need. When we have that, our motivations will be continually righteous. We'll continually be doing and saying the things, continually desiring to say and do the things that he would have us say and do. Very simple, but it all comes down to this. There will be a people on the earth who have laid down their lives in order to be totally empowered by God, and those who have been maintained self-desire and thus allow them to be totally controlled by the devil. I'm talking now on a religious level here now. And they will, that's precisely why there will be a civil war. I'm not going to go into that now. Okay, again, at the importance of seeking to be in a proper position at all times, individually and corporately, because it is this proper positioning, and it begins, again, in the inner chamber, that allows us to receive the fullness of his provision at all times. And as we really are diligent in these days, then there will not be any hindrances to whatever God wants to do as far as the outworking or the outpouring of the Spirit, the outworking of the glorious church. We don't want any more hindrances. We've hit them enough. he has such a strong desire to show himself strong on the behalf of those who walk uprightly before him. You know, in these days, those who are truly willing to do all of God's will, they'll be elevated. Now, elevated in the kingdom means they're just moving into a position where they can release everything that, regardless of their calling, anything that God has blessed them with, empowered them with, revealed to them. And of course, this is going to be a very, very amazing thing when the corporate anointing begins to rise, because we haven't seen that. We've seen little pockets of believers that are wholly given to God, and God's done a great work and is doing a great work in those places. But when this corporate anointing comes together the way God has planned, it's going to cause some things to happen very, very quickly. So even those who are willing to be made willing. I used to have a prayer when I first started out because I was willing to do the will of God, but I came in across certain things that, you know, because of fear and things, I was really hesitant. So I said, Father, just make me willing to be made willing to do all of your will. And he honors that. I had a lot of those in the beginning, I'll tell you. Everywhere he had me move when he first separated me unto himself, he gave me a word. He said, obedience will produce the necessary confrontation. And what's that confronting any ground of fear in our heart? So I would consistently get a thing where he'd say, I want you to go down there and do it. Oh, you know, or I want you to go over there. Oh, I want you to go over there. And every last thing was a confrontation. And sometimes I didn't go right away. And even knowing, because I was afraid, you know. But ultimately, you know, around the mountain a few times, ultimately there was that confrontation. And even to this day, when we are given an instruction, a command, and we set out to obey it, it will cause us to be strengthened. It will confront anything in us. But most importantly now, because we are a people who have allowed the deepest work of the cross over a period of many years, now it's confronting whatever needs to be confronted in the person that we're sent to. If there's anything remaining in us, it will be confronted. But mostly now, it's for the purpose of manifesting the perfect love of God. And what will it do if that person has a heart towards God? It will confront the ground of fear and allow that perfect love, as they discard that, to come in and take that place so people can be can grow spiritually. They can be edified. But if that same act of obedience and that same love going forth confronts a rebellious spirit, anything can happen. But it will be confronted, and they will be brought to a point of decision where they can either let go of that rebellion or they can go on. But nonetheless, an absolute kingdom principle, perfect obedience in our lives, individually and corporately, will always, always produce the necessary confrontation, the thing that God is trying to get across to a person in order for them to fulfill their destiny in Christ. And whatever you're called to, regardless, it will, whether it's an individual situation, a situation in your family, the corporate church, that is an absolute fact. That's why we need to be rooted and grounded in love, because, you know, just like Moses received some very serious attitude from Korah and those with him, we are going to receive some very serious attitude. But God is raising up a people who, regardless of what they confront, they will continue to walk in love. And whatever happens, they'll just seek him for the next step in perfect obedience. We cannot be a soft people, because those spirits of rebellion, the spirit of Antichrist, and those different spirits of darkness that are out there are very, very difficult to deal with on a place apart from the Holy Spirit. They're impossible to deal with, as a matter of fact. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that's, again, why we need to have that consciousness of him there. I'm just telling you because I've run across some of these spirits, and they're deadly, absolute deadly. There's only one spirit that can overcome them. That's the Holy Spirit. Fortunately, that's the only spirit we need, because all the spirits that come from that are of him. I mentioned about the fact that every last captive will be set free. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, as it says at the end of Peter's, when he spoke Joel's prophecy in Acts 2, it says, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall experience what they need from God. I mentioned that. That's very important. See, he's just finished talking about what it's going to be like in the last days. The whole thing from Joel's prophecy. But then he summed it up by saying, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the point is that there is going to be a glorious church in the earth. And as I said before, there's a lot of people out there whose hearts are very close to the kingdom. And when they see all these signs and wonders that Peter mentioned through the prophecy in Joel, they're going to cry out to God, and boom, they're going to be able to get it. And the provision's in the earth for them to receive that too in the glorious church. We talked about the fact that the conflict of the kingdoms is upon us. Well, this conflict of this, what's happening now between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of this world, or the Antichrist plan or kingdom, or whatever you want to call it, it's both absolute and final. In other words, whatever decision the Christian makes in these days, whether they choose life or whether they choose death, it's going to be absolute and final. It's going to dictate their eternal destiny. I don't mean that going to heaven in this case. I'm talking about eternal reward. So we have the opportunity. We are such a blessed people. We have the opportunity to love God now. It's not going to be hard to love God in heaven. We have an opportunity to love him now. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. And when we obey him, we are building eternal reward. This is not the works that the world talks about or religious people talk about. This is simple obedience. And every time we obey him, every time we act in faith, we are bringing glory to him, but we are also building eternal reward and a task that I'm not going to stand here and try and explain the millennial kingdom to you, but to rule and reign with God. And it's real. It's real, but it's not earned by our own actions. It's earned by the Spirit of God within us and our act of love towards God in obeying him. Boy, people have got to get that revelation. If you try to earn your way in the kingdom, you're going to find yourself in a very bad place. That's not the way it works. Our call is to obedience. And that through that obedience, then the spontaneous manifestation comes. But there is no good in the flesh, and the flesh profits nothing where the kingdom is concerned. Absolutely nothing. That will be seen clearly in this last hour. I mentioned this, but I'd like to read this again because it has to do with Satan's devastation. Satan and his forces shall be both continually terrorized and devastated by the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remainder of her time in the earth. It will be an abiding and absolute victory after victory as the overcomers go forth consumed by the glory of God. Again, the God inside minded consciousness. I mean, it is a futile thing for the Christian to sit there in their own little space and gee, I wonder, how I'm going to be able to do that. You're going to be able to do that by the total empowerment of God. And we've heard it preached, and it's coming down to the final hour of this. For the Christian to receive condemnation, right, to receive accusation, which is just lies of the devil, but so is condemnation, that portrays a very weak spiritual state, one that not one Christian can afford to be in this last hour. It's lies. Accusations do not come from God. Condemnation does not come from God. Conviction does, but condemnation does not. Again, it's very, very important. It's, I think I've said this before, but do you want to know what the spiritual reality, you want to know why that's an abomination to God, to think that we're nothing but worms walking the face of this earth? It's because every time we deny the provision that God has made for us in Christ, every time we fail to trust him, the spiritual reality behind that is we are denying the blood of Jesus. Now, for a born-again child of God to deny the blood of Jesus, I mean, if Satan allows a person or causes a person, if they allow Satan to bring him to that place, that is just, I don't have words to describe that. I mean, I'm sure that witnesses with everyone. After what Jesus did to deny him, you see, so there are ways to deny him just in the way that Peter denied him in that position. We don't want to be those people. So now's the time to come to the place of fellowship with God where we know what he is saying, what we know who we are in his sight. And that's just the way it is. So I'm going to close here and we'll just go on next week. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word. And we thank you that you've impacted our hearts. And we just give you all the honor and praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.